This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. It is 7:36 in the morning. It is the 17th of January, 2019. I am Koo Soo Chung, joined by Joyce Koh. And we are also joined by Vishnu Varathan, the Head of Economics and Strategy for Oceana and the Treasury Department for Singapore-based Mizuho Bank. Now, Vishnu, welcome to the discussion. Last night, I think Theresa May, the British Prime Minister, survived the vote of no confidence and puts the UK into a very delicate next 2 weeks or next few months in terms of whether she can deliver a deal to leave the European Union. Now, what does that mean in terms of where the British pound sits with the rest of the world and also with how the UK economy navigates this next few weeks? What are your points of view on those fronts?
Well, I think that really puts the British pound in a very in a strange place because it is going to become fairly twitchy, but that would be very event-driven. So what would happen is I think markets would look for the possible outcomes that could come out of this. The two extreme cases being a soft Brexit is negotiated in the end and UK gets a slightly better deal they can accept from the EU. So that's the best case scenario in terms of if we were to assume that Brexit still goes ahead. So that's within Brexit the best case scenario. The worst case scenario is a hard Brexit with no deal. So in one case, I think the sterling could rise by another 2-3% to about 132 or perhaps as high as 134 against the US dollar. In the worst case, it could collapse below 125 if there's a hard Brexit. And markets are not sure where it's going to go ahead with this. There is a third outcome, which is there's another referendum called and the UK backs out of Brexit and they remain in. And the remain would also, I think, turn out to be positive for the sterling. We don't know which way this is going to go. So you're on a straight road that's going to come into an intersection, a rather complicated intersection, but there isn't enough time to get to the intersection, I think. And so what's going to happen is, so far that the timeline for negotiation is extended, the so-called Article 50, which stipulates a two-year timeline, that I think the hard cut for that is 29th March. So the first reaction would be, in extending the timeline, a relief bounce in the sterling, but that wouldn't be too deep and it wouldn't last too long. And beyond that, I think it really remains to be seen how much the EU can concede and whether a very fractured UK Parliament can get on the same page and accept a deal on the table.
Vishnu, what about the implications here for Europe and the ECB? What's your take on that?
It would appear that the European Central Bank is watching this development rather closely. Mm-hmm. And I think they do factor it into the downside risk. I mean, the ECB just mentioned, ECB Chief Draghi just mentioned that he does see softening growth, but he was also emphatic that they're probably going to avert a recession. So insofar that I think they can negotiate something and avoid a hard Brexit, the ECB will probably stick to its script and do a single token hike this year, but no aggressive tightening because he made it quite clear that the current economic conditions require significant accommodation for a while longer still.
Vishnu, let's cross the pond and look at stateside and the fact that earnings season in America has begun in earnest. There were earlier strong profits at Goldman Sachs and Bank of America, but NASDAQ weighed on gains, I think, apparently after US investigators said they were looking at Huawei technologies and, of course, underlining the pressures that America is having with China. What is your sense of sentiment within the US equity market right now, given the countervailing forces at play?
I think right now, U.S. markets are looking for some reasons to buy back. I mean, the sell-down towards the end of last year was rather brutal. And we've seen rather positive momentum so far this year. And I think the conditions are fairly conducive. We've had a very complementary bounce back in oil, which was intertwined with the equity markets. This has played well into the energy counters, and as mentioned, some of the earnings coming out better than expected are also boosting it. But there doesn't seem to be some durability around this for two reasons. One are the external risks that we cited, and increasingly, the sense that a U.S. slowdown is looming could also further drag on earnings going ahead. So it's going to be a state where I think markets are going to actively assess whether the forward-looking prospects are as bright or can get any better before I think a further rallies take place. So I think the interim rallies look more like relief than outright optimism.
Well, dead cat bounce notwithstanding, Vishnu, what is your sense? And of course, I just want to point out that the market seems to be having a growing opinion that the Federal Reserve and Jerome Powell might actually reverse his rate tightening policy and start to neutralize or even ease by the end of this year. What's your point of view on that?
Well, I think we're looking at the Fed mainly sticking with the game plan and you know, possibly rolling out two hikes so long as they avert a rather sharp slowdown. But increasingly, the prospect of just one more very measured hike looks likely, given that the labor market conditions continue to strengthen and given that oil has bounced back, inflation is not coming off so sharply in the U.S. All this is predicated on the fact that, you know, U.S.-China trade talks, I'm not talking about the underlying greater strategic tensions, but at least the trade talks have pretty much averted a catastrophe for now. So based on that, it looks that way. But for the Fed to reverse on the rate hike situation, to start easing again, that would be pretty dire economic situation. And the bigger question is at that point is what do they do with the balance sheet? Do they continue to reduce it? Do they halt it? So I think the initial signals might come from the balance sheet policy before we hit the reversal of the rate hikes done.
Well, Vishnu, the S&P 500 broke past the 2,600 level on Wednesday for the first time in a month, and tech-heavy NASDAQ 100 recovered after 2 days of losses following China's announcement that there would be more measures to boost its economy. How promising are these measures, you reckon? And, you know, will this be able to mitigate the potential damage if the trade war escalates?
I think that still remains a little bit up in the air, but it has been very encouraging because we've seen a suite of measures, mostly complementing, very targeted, and also bearing in mind that they don't want to, escalate the financial sector risk. So I think China has taken a very nuanced, very considered approach to this, and I think that's certainly going to be very encouraging. I think they will be able to engineer a soft landing, but I don't think they can reverse the slowdown that we are seeing, regardless of the trade war. We already had a global slowdown in terms of demand, so exports are going to slow in any case. But the worst case scenarios in a trade war, which is to, and explicitly that's a re-escalation in tariffs, if that takes place, then hard landing risks will start appearing in the horizon. But I think that will be averted for now, or at least this year.
Well, for producers of oil like Malaysia, the recent bounce to $52 a barrel for Brent crude oil was seen as quite a welcome rally. But what's the sustainability of this little reprieve, Vishnu? What's your sense of that?
But the reprieve is not that surprising because, you know, our view was that below $50, it is going to be very difficult for oil to continue collapsing in the absence of a much bigger shock. The three biggest swing factors in oil supply, and a lot of these moves are through supply, are going to be US, Russia, and the Saudi plus, including UAE, so on and so forth. And most of them are about where they want in terms of capacity. And U.S. is sensitive to oil below 50 and producers cut back. So the 60 level normalization is about where it ought to be. But whether it can sustain upside will really have to be deferred to May, because that's when we see what happens with the Iranian sanctions, whether the waivers are removed. And that would give a durable leg up towards 70 and above, failing which I think the back and forth with what U.S. is comfortable with in terms of oil pricing could hamper further improvement on a very solid basis, I think.
All right. Thanks so much, as always, Vishnu. Great insights.
My pleasure.
That was Vishnu Varathan, the head of economics and strategy for the Oceania's Department and Treasury Department for Mizuho Bank in Singapore. We'll be back after this with the business news, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.